From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starter from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headline. Cash labor intensive program in water resource absorbed 163,003 workers. Indonesia suggests MLA treaty with China for ship crew handling. Now the news in details. The Public Works and Public Housing Ministry reported that 163,003 workers were absorbed under the cash labor intensive program in the water resource sector as of August 18. The Public Works and Public Housing PUPR Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono noted in a statement on Friday, August 21st, that in addition to boosting the people's purchasing power, the cash labor intensive program is aimed at distributing cash to rural areas. The program should be implemented with strict adherence to health protocols and practicing social distancing to prevent the transmission of COVID-19. The Ministry's Director General of Water Resources has apportioned a budget amounting to 3.34 trillion rupiah for implementing the program in 2020 at 14,618 locations that will involve 264,471 workers. Indonesia has suggested the formation of a mutual legal assistance treaty with China to handle alleged human trafficking and mistreatment of Indonesian crew members aboard Chinese fishing ships. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi put forward the proposals at a bilateral meeting with her Chinese counterpart, Wang Yi, in Shenya City, Hainan, China, on Thursday, August 21st. Escorted by Antara News Agency on Friday, August 21st, Minister Retno Marsudi stressed that the issue on the Indonesian ship crew is not merely a private issue, but the government must also get involved to ensure that such incidents of abuse do not recur in future. To this end, the minister urged the Chinese government to forge cooperation in mutual legal assistance. The minister elaborated the mutual legal assistance addresses the need to get witness from Chinese nationals and to conduct transparent investigation on alleged human trafficking in the Chinese ship Longxin 629. Sinovac Biotech Ltd's China pharmaceutical firms concurred with the plan to lend priority to Indonesia in the distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine until the end of 2021. As stated by Antara News Agency on Friday, August 21st, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi stated the agreement was reached through a Memorandum of Understanding MOU inked between Sinovac and Indonesian vaccine producer PT Bio Farma Persero in Shenya City, Hainan, China. The minister further said Sinovac and Biopharma have signed an MOU on bulk vaccine capacity commitment in 2021, under which Sinovac will give priority to Biopharma in the bulk supply of the vaccine after March 2021 until the end of 2021. The two companies have also signed a preliminary agreement on the purchase and supply of the COVID-19 vaccine in bulk. Under the agreement, Sinovac has agreed to produce up to 40 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine during the period from November 2020 to March 2021. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The World Health Organization WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus on Friday hopes the coronavirus pandemic will be shorter than the 1918 Spanish flu, than 2 years if the world unites and succeeds in finding a vaccine. stated by Reuters August 21st, the WHO has always been cautious about giving estimates on how quickly the pandemic can be dealt with while there is no proven vaccine. Tedros said the 1918 Spanish flu took 2 years to stop. He told a briefing in Geneva that in the world situation now with more technology and of course with more connectedness, the virus has a better chance of spreading. It can move fast because the people are more connected now. The United States and the European Union have hatched a mini deal to cut import tariffs on a small range of products, including U.S. lobsters, in a sign of an easing of transatlantic trade tension. The two have been in dispute over aircraft subsidies and U.S. President Donald Trump's imposition of punitive tariffs on European Union steel and aluminum announced the deal in a joint statement on Friday. As stated by Reuters, August 21st, the European Union official stated the importance of the deal is that it has unleashed positive results elsewhere. Under the agreement, the European Union will remove tariffs of 8% to 12% on imports of lobsters, while the United States will halve its duties on imports of certain glassware, ceramics, disposable lighters, and prepared meals. 9 people have reportedly died after a fire broke out at a hydroelectric power plant in the Indian state of Telangana. As quoted by BBC.com August 21st, the State Power Generations Corporation stated the bodies were found during a search for employees working underground at the Srisailam plant. Local media reports said the fire broke out late on Thursday night and burned into Friday, trapping workers. The report said the fire had been extinguished. The Telangana State Power Generation Corporation said in a statement that there were 17 employees inside the building at that time. The statement said 8 of them managed to come out of the station with injuries, 9 others remained trapped inside as they were trying their best to put out the fire and save the power plant from being burned completely. Senegalese officials says they have asked for 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate, the chemical which caused a huge explosion in Beirut, to be removed from Dakar. As quoted by BBC.com August 21st, the amount in Dakar's port, which is near residential areas, is nearly as much as was in the Lebanese capital. Officials says the chemical is part of 3,050 tons consignment destined for neighboring Mali. Port officials says 350 tons have already been transported there. The government says the owner of the consignment has asked to store the chemical in a warehouse at Diam Niadio, about 30 kilometers or 20 miles from Dakar. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
The commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence 2020
is themed Indonesia Maju, or Onwards Indonesia. Representing the Pancasila, our state and nation life guidance, which was perfected by logo that says, "Proud of Indonesian products," as efforts to nurture people's love for national products. Oh,
The anniversary logo looks like the shield of Garuda Pancasila with onwards in the nature beneath it, symbolizing economic equality and growth for Indonesian people and also the real progress of the effort to present the best for people of Indonesia.
Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country. The first news comes from Yogyakarta. The Association of Indonesian Hotels and Restaurants of Yogyakarta Special Region emphasized its commitment to continue to strictly implement the COVID-19 prevention health protocols. Among others, they will not serve guests who do not comply with health protocols. Apart from washing hands, wearing a mask, and keeping physical distance, the health protocols that must be followed is to ask guests from the red zone to bring a rapid test or swab test that shows negative results. Chairperson of the Yogyakarta Association of Indonesian Hotels and Restaurant, Dedi Pranawa Eriana, said on Wednesday that they were also working with the Yogyakarta City Information and Communication Department regarding the addition of a QR code facilities for guest data collection to facilitate the tracing process if a coronavirus transmission cluster appears. Currently, not all hotels have this QR code. The next news comes from Pasuruan, East Java. The collection of orangutans or Pongo pygmaeus at the Prigen Safari Park, Pasuruan, East Java, increased with the birth of a baby orangutan. Prigen Safari Park veterinarian Nanang Tejo Laksono in Pasuruan last Wednesday said the newborn baby orangutan was named Nanda. According to him, Nanda's birth was very good news on the commemoration of World Orangutan Day, which fell on August 19, 2020. Nanang added, with the presence of female Nanda, the number of orangutans in the Prigen Safari Park has now increased to 22. Last information is coming from Magelang Central Java, where the government of Magelang City Central Java decided to close Mount Tidar for community pilgrimage activities in the area on the night of Satu Suro, or the night of 1st of Muharram, 1442 Hijriah, which coincided with Wednesday night in order to prevent transmission of COVID-19. Head of the Magelang City Environment Agency, Rostrianto in Magelang on Wednesday said the city government decision was supported mainly by the task force for the acceleration of handling COVID-19, the police, community leaders, and caretaker of Mount Tidar. Even so, Rostrianto guaranteed that the surrounding communities could still carry out their business activities because the Gunung Tidar Botanical Garden was still open at 7 a.m. to 15:30 Western Indonesia time. He reminded visitors to be disciplined and obey the health protocols that have been established there. Listener, that was news from across the country. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
I am Zia Zardin, the head of the Syria Arab Republic Embassy in Jakarta. I'd like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationships between the two countries, Syria and Indonesia, get better and provide the benefits to the people of the two countries. Dirgahayu Republic of Indonesia, Yanka Tujulima.
Of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. Let's start from an event on August 22, 1945 about the People's Security Body was established. The People's Security Agency was the first armed force which was established after the independence of Indonesia. The establishment of the agency was carried out through a meeting of the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, PPKI, on August 22, 1945, and announced by President Sukarno on August 23, 1945. Members of the agency were Indonesian young people who previously had received military education as Heiho soldiers, defenders of the homeland PETA, the Royal Netherlands East Indies Army NIL, and so on. Aruji Kartawinata was appointed as commander of the committee. Through presidential decree on October 5, 1945, the People's Security Agency was changed to the People's Security Army, TKR. Let's move in on August 22, 1945, PPKI held its last session and marked the end of PPKI's duty. The Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, or PPKI, is a committee tasked by preparing Indonesia's independence. Before this committee was established, the Investigating Committee for Preparatory Work for Indonesian Independence, PPUPKI, was established. However, because they were deemed to carry out the proclamation of Indonesia too soon, Japan disbanded and established the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, PPKI, on August 7, 1945, chaired by Sukarno. PPKI consisted of 21 members. After the proclamation of independence, PPKI held several sessions. On August 22, 1945, it succeeded in establishing the Central Indonesian National Committee, the Indonesian National Party, and the People's Security Agency, BKR. On August 22, 1945, PPKI's duty was completed, but this was only disbanded on August 29, 1945, at the same time as the inauguration of members of the Central Indonesian National Committee. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
The 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence with the team Indonesia Onward. Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
Awal berjumpa, biasa saja kita, belum jatuh cinta. Cinta pandang pertama, mereka bilang bahagia, namun bukan untuk kita. Kedua kali kamu hampiri aku, pura-pura malu, menahan setiap tingkah agar tidak salah. Jaga berjuta-juta rasa.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today. Entitling Syariah Economic Festival in Eastern Indonesia. The Eastern Indonesia Regional Syariah Economic Festival in Mataram West Nusa Tenggara was opened virtually on Wednesday, August 19, 2020. It was held by Bank Indonesia virtually and theme Encouraging Syariah Economy as a Driver for Regional Economics Post New Normal Implementation. The festival will last until August 28, 2020. Deputy Governor of Bank Indonesia, Rosmaya Hadi, in his opening remarks, asked Syariah entrepreneurs and micro and small medium enterprises to adapt to the new normal era. There are three things that needs to be considered by Syariah business actors and micro, small and medium enterprises in adapting to the new normal era. First, adjustment in running a business according to health protocols, then be agile in seizing opportunities in the digital era by understanding the transformation of consumer lifestyles and mindsets. Third, accelerate business capacity by making various innovation. The Regional Syariah Economic Festival in Eastern Indonesia 2020 consists of two main activities, namely the Syariah Fair, which is attended by 55 micro, small and medium enterprises virtual booths in the region, and the Syariah Forum, consisting of 20 virtual talk shows and seminar by presenting figures or activists Islamic economy at the local, regional and national level. The festival is expected to bring together suppliers and producers and distributors, producers and consumers, as well as inventors in the national halal industry. In addition, it is a form of synergy and coordination between Bank Indonesia and other authorities such as the Halal Product Guarantee Agencies of the Ministry of Religion, the National Committee on Sharia's Economics and Finance, the Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, the Ministry of Finance, the Indonesian Wakaf Board, and various associations in the development of Islamic economics and finance. Head of the Bank Indonesia Representative Office for West Nusa Tenggara Province, Akris Sarwani, revealed that the scope of this Syariah Fair is more focused on encouraging economic activities both locally and regionally through various activities. The Eastern Indonesia Regional Syariah Economic Festival is part of a series of the Indonesia Syariah Economic Festival Virtual 2020, which was opened by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin as Deputy Chair of the National Committee of Syariah Economics and Finance in early August. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Tanganku ini tak mampu berhenti menuliskan namamu untuk sekian kali. 3 jam sudah waktu berlalu, masih saja ku begitu mengganggu kau di kepalaku, menari-nari dalam alu.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we are going to introduce you to culinary from Southeast Sulawesi province, especially in Muna Island, the archipelago of the Buton and Wakatobi Islands, namely Kasoami. Kasoami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasoami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasoami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called kagepe. To make kasoami, initially kagepe is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the kagepe, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with kagepe flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasoami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasoamis. Kasoami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasoami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasoami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasoami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring kasoami, a culinary from Southeast Sulawesi. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. See you next time.
I am Nico Barito, Special Envoy of President Seychelles for ASEAN. I would like to wish Indonesia a very happy 75th anniversary. May the government and the people grow in prosperity and may the good friendship between Seychelles and Indonesia become stronger, and may we deliver peace to the world. Thank you.
Ada kalanya sunyi bersuara, hanya perlu menikmati diam, memahami semua yang terjadi. Tak sekalipun pernah menyesal memilih untuk bersamamu, memperjuangkan yang kita punya. Di sini juga tak apa, asalkan saling punya. Begini juga tak apa, karena kita bersama. Percaya saja, akhirnya satu hari nantinya semua ini akan jadi cerita yang indah.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we are going to inform you about Indonesia BRICS Virtual Ceremony Record. Stay tuned. At the celebration of Indonesia's 75th anniversary on August 17, 2020, Indonesia held a virtual independence ceremony for the first time. Even so, there were still 20 people present at the State Palace in Jakarta to take part in the ceremony directly with the inspector of the ceremony, President Joko Widodo. Even so, the presidential secretariat invited 17,845 people to be able to watch the independence ceremony of the 75th Indonesian Independence Day via online and was also attended virtually by the public. The interesting fact is that the virtual number of independence ceremony invitations is claimed to be the only one in history, the only one in the world, and a world record for the virtual ceremony with the most participants in the world. Deputy for Protocol, Press and Media of the Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, said that for the first time, August 17th was attended by ambassadors, representatives, as well as Indonesian citizens abroad. As a token of appreciation for the success of the ceremony, which was attended virtually, Jaya Suprana, as a representative of MURI or Indonesian Record Museum, also directly presented a record award to head of the Presidential Secretariat, Heru Budi Hartono. The ceremony, which was virtually attended by more than 17,000 people, could take place solemnly, especially amid COVID-19 pandemic. This is a new story and history for Indonesia. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today. We'll meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you next time.
Namaste. I am Pradeep Kumar Rawat, Ambassador of India to Indonesia. I convey best wishes and greetings to the friendly people of Indonesia on the 75th Independence Day. Selamat Hari Kemerdekaan. India has just celebrated its Independence Day on 15th August. As our two democratic nations celebrate our national days, I wish that India-Indonesia comprehensive strategic partnership will grow from strength to strength for mutual benefit of our two peoples. I believe that a strong India-Indonesia partnership is a pillar of strength for regional peace, security, and economic prosperity.
Mengisi ruang di hatiku. pegang janjiku, kan ku jaga selalu. Utuh, indah manis cinta kita, hingga habis sudah muka dunia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we are going to present a keroncong song entitled Ariati. The song, which was composed by Ismail Marzuki, tells about man's admiration for a woman, so this resulted in a dream. The man feels that it is impossible to have her. Meeting in the dream makes him happy. The story, which is told in the song's lyrics, may happen in real life. Although it was an old song which was composed in the era of the Indonesian independence, the song Ariati seems to be timeless. The song has been sung by some Indonesian talented singers, including M. Rivani. Well, listener, here is M. Rivani with keroncong song entitled Ariati.
Oh, Of Indonesia.
Melupakan janji. saya datang kemari. Kekasihku, di manakah kamu? Tegalah aku. Meskipun hujan
it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safidadala. See you on the next English program.